Paula Weber is with us now. She is the Director of Counseling Services for Catholic Charities in the Diocese of Covington. And she's here to discuss with us today how to reach out to those who may be struggling with suicidality. Paula, thanks so much for joining us today on the Sunrise Morning Show.
Thank you so much. Appreciate being here.
Oh, it's lovely to have you. So let's just get right into it here. How do we recognize if someone we love is in danger of potentially taking their own life?
Well, there are many signs and symptoms. And the thing is that first we have to remember that we need to talk about it. If we see something that we think someone that we know is struggling with depression, or we feel like they have a plan to hurt themselves, or they're thinking about it, we need to bring it out in the open. So many people don't realize that they think that if they talk about it, somehow they're putting that thought in the other person's head. And believe me, the thought's already there. So by you bringing it up, you're actually allowing that person to be relieved, to know that they have somebody that they can actually talk with about. So some of the signs or symptoms would be a sense of hopelessness, feeling a sense of burden to other people around us, giving away things, anything that has to do with, in terms of buying a gun or getting involved with any kind of lethal means. Obviously, past attempts would put someone at greater risk to actually complete a suicide. Feeling anxious or agitated, that's another symptom, or behaving recklessly, taking unnecessary risk. All of these things, anything that seems a little unusual or a concern to you is something that you should bring up.
I'm glad, though, that you bring up this this whole idea of being the first one to mention it, to ask the question that sometimes we hesitate to ask. This is something we really focus on in school for counseling, this idea that you're not going to be the first person to introduce the idea of suicide to somebody. It's not like anybody's going to be like, oh, I never really thought of that. Yeah, I should kill myself. No, like oftentimes people are actually waiting for someone to ask because they really just want someone to care enough to do so.
Exactly. And we can't be afraid to bring it up. I mean, if it's not an issue, then they'll say to you, oh, no, I hadn't thought of that. But if it is an issue, you know, they'll be relieved that you brought it up.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, it's important to note that spring is perhaps surprisingly actually a high-risk season for suicide. Why is that, do you think?
Right. Well, there's no real clear-cut scientific evidence that can tell us. But there's actually been studies dating back to the 1800s tracking suicides, and they have found that they do peak in the spring. Now, a couple of the theories are that perhaps winter's over, depression is lifted, people have more energy to complete a plan, but we're not sure. There's even a theory now about perhaps a connection between the levels of inflammation and the allergy season and the immune response. So studies continue, but we really don't know. And it's surprisingly, across all the northern and southern hemispheres, spring seems to be the time. So we're just not sure, but we know it's true.
In my own dealings with my friends who have been suicidal, something that they are very concerned about whenever we've intervened for them is what's going to happen when they get to the hospital, or if we end up calling a crisis line. There's uncertainty there. They're afraid that, you know, it'll end up on their record somehow, or something like that bad will happen. Can you sort of rest us assured in regards to how that process actually works?
Yeah, suicide crisis lines or any health lines are confidential. HIPAA laws protect any kind of privacy, getting out to anyone else. So you are protected when you seek medical care or you call a crisis line. What happens when you call a crisis line is basically they're going to talk to you about what's going on, what you're thinking about, and they want to minimize risk. They want to talk to you about how you're coping, if you have a support system. Not everyone who goes to the hospital will be to the emergency room will be hospitalized for a suicide attempt, only those people who really are in danger of hurting themselves. And the thing is that the 72-hour hold or the three-day stay in a hospital is based on research. So we know that if we give someone an opportunity to have 72 hours to be in a safe environment, their thinking will often turn around and they'll become more rational and they'll be able to make safer choices.
Closing thoughts here, Paula. What would you most want a listener to take away from this particular interview if they personally are dealing with this thought, this tendency, or if they suspect that some loved one might be?
Reach out for help. Don't be afraid to talk about it and call for help. The Suicide National Crisis Line is a text or a talk line, and it's 1-800-273-TALK.
That's a great number to be calling. We will certainly post it at sunrisemorningshow.com. I also want to make sure people realize that Catholic Charities of Covington, because of the counseling you guys provide, is an excellent resource for long-term help. Where can listeners go to find out more about that?
Absolutely. You can give us a call at 859-581-8974 or Google Catholic Charities Covington. We're on the web.